excited to have this opportunity this morning that God has given us to be here once again. We hope that you have come expecting and ready to get a word from the Lord and what God may have you to do. If you're lost this morning, we want to see you saved and get a relationship with Him. We've had fun this week. We've enjoyed studying and just thinking about the service today, and we're going to dive right in to God's Word and get right into this. So if you don't care, if you'll stand for the honor of reading God's Word, we're going to be in the book of Hebrews, okay? Reading that, we're going to read in 11 chapters, 17th through the 19th verse, just a continuation of last week. So we're going to start reading there in the 17th verse of the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrew. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." Let us pray. God, we thank you for this opportunity that you blessed us with this morning. We ask you, Lord, just to be in this service, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the great worship and praise this morning. And our heart's desire is if there's someone here that may feel like they're in bondage or in slavery, Lord Father, or someone that needs a relationship with you, that you would just speak to their heart this morning, Lord Father, draw them to an altar of repentance, Lord, where they can receive this wonderful gift of salvation. I pray that spirits would be uplifted this morning, eyes would be open, hearts would be open, Lord Father. I understand the strict judgment upon my life of rightly dividing your word, and I accept that place this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 It's good to see we've some familiar faces back this morning we hadn't seen in a while. We appreciate that. Looks, I think there's last couple of weeks there's been a larger crowd. I really think so. But I guess because y'all knew Pastor Grant was on sabbatical, right? That's what it was. Yeah, yeah. So you better get ready. You better buckle up and get ready this morning. God's, I pray that He's got a powerful word for you this morning that you might be able to receive something, possibly get some joy, or maybe if you're struggling, just be uplifted in some way, or if you're lost, that you could be saved. The first thing I want to say is Happy Valentine's Day, okay? Happy Valentine's Day to everybody. And I love every Sunday we get to talk about this great love of Jesus Christ, that He loved us so much that He gave His own life, that He come and He was willing to do for you and I what no one else was willing to do. And I'm so thankful for that love that God had for each and every one of us. So I'm going to start off, I always like starting off with kind of a brain tease and just to think just a little bit to kind of get us into this. To this sermon this morning, just a little bit. But I want to ask you, think of something you have had to sacrifice in your life. Think about that. Think of something that you have had to sacrifice in your life. I just went down through here just randomly. Time, you know, I've had to sacrifice time. What about this? The last piece of cake. Had to sacrifice the last piece of cake. Here's a hard one. Not scrolling through social media during church. Sacrifice. That's a sacrifice. What about giving up the parking spot at Walmart? Oh, somebody else. That's another. It's a big sacrifice right there. What about giving up? Here's a tough one. Giving up the remote. Yes. Giving up the remote. And here's a hard one for church folks. Giving up your church seat. Oh, boy, that's a big one. I've seen it go down before when someone had to sacrifice their seat because someone just didn't know that maybe a visitor, oh, they're sitting in my seat. I've sat there for 25 years, okay? Sacrifice. I think oftentimes in life we use this word sacrifice so flippantly. We just kind of use it, sacrifice. Whoa, I've sacrificed a lot in my life. I've sacrificed so much. my time, my remote, my seat, my parking spot. I've sacrificed so much in my life. Where's the definition of sacrifice? A sacrifice is something given up for the sake of others. We could say, well, all those things related to that correctly. All those things related to that. Well, the title of this morning's sermon is Having a Faith That Trusts. And when we think about having a faith that trusts, we've also got to categorize in that it's probably going to require sacrifices. It's probably going to require us giving up something, giving something up in order to have this faith that trusts. I don't know if most of you know my story, but you're getting ready to, okay? But when I was young, when I was, you know, that as far back as I can remember, probably the earliest that I can really truly remember is probably about 5 years old. Four or five years old, I remember vaguely about my life. But you know, as a young child, my mom and dad were divorced. Okay, at a very young age, I remember, and some of you guys can probably relate to this as well. Maybe through a divorced mom and dad, or just the lifestyle that you were raised up in. I remembered very vividly in my life. And I'll be 45 this year, okay? I remember in my life living in a house that had no running water. I remember that, okay? You're not old enough. Yes, I did. I remember living in a house that had no running water. I remember the outhouse. I remember what it looked like. I remember what it smelled like. Okay? I remember going to the well, and I'm going to tell you, there ain't no better water than well water. I'm just telling you. It's always cold. I remember going to the well and having to lower the bucket down, get the water out, bring it into the house. I remember that. It was in this canister, and do you remember the ladle? The cold ladle he's dipped down in. I remember that in my childhood. I vividly remember. I can see it. I can picture it. I can taste it. I can feel that cold ladle up on my lips right now. I can see that so vividly. I remember mom saying, do not get in the floor because I'm not sure what's running around the house and I don't want something to carry you off. Okay? I remember those things that, yeah, we possibly rats, maybe, yeah, that would just carry you off, okay? She didn't want us to get out of bed during the night. I remember those things. I remember the wash machine wasn't beep, turning up, ooh, it turned on. I remember actually getting my hand caught in one of the old wash machines where you had to wring it out. Why'd you get your hand in it? I don't know, I was young. I was like, woo, that, yes. Yes, I remember those things about my life. But as I got older, here's what I really, truly, truly, truly remember. And a lot of you people, a lot of in here this morning, you can probably think, man, I remember. I remember granddad. I remember mom and dad. I remember all of these things, not having running water and things like that. But I remember as I look back now, I realize the sacrifice that my mom gave for my siblings and I. And I wished I wished at the time, now in my life, I appreciate that a whole lot more, but I wish back then that during that time that I would have realized what was actually being sacrificed, what was being given up. And I appreciate that. And I know most of you here this morning say, yes, I remember what my parents did and sacrificed in order for us to have what we had. And you know, at that time, I didn't think I was poor. I thought, man, got the best drinking water around this side of Western Kentucky. I didn't think I was poor at all. But I appreciate the sacrifice that my mom gave up for my siblings and I. Now, many of us have family members that have sacrificed their lives for their fellow man and for their country. But this whole idea of making sacrifices, great or small, seems more alien in today's society Would you not agree with that? That people aren't willing to sacrifice anything, because we do live in a time and an era and in generations where it is really focused on me. What can I get out of this? What am I gonna get? If I do this, what am I gonna get? We live in a time like that. So this word sacrifice, really, in our time, it seems just so far-fetched that, well, I'm not giving up anything. This is mine. This is mine. And it's something that we ought to consider when we're thinking about being Christians and in our life and as we walk this daily life, that throughout our life, what has God really asked you to sacrifice? Question number two, what has God really asked you to sacrifice? I can see some of you sitting here like, I don't know what God wants me to sacrifice. He gave his son, he died for us. He chose me to come to him and get a relationship. I did that. I don't know what God would want me to sacrifice. Well, throughout Scripture, it kind of explains a few things that if you may not know, that God is pleased with on certain sacrifices. The writer of Hebrews says that through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of praise. Well, what does that mean? Sacrificing our lips. What we say, what we talk about, a sacrifice of praise. That's one sacrifice. In Romans 12:1, it says this here. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. What is he asking? He's asking us to sacrifice our life. This is pleasing to God, to sacrifice our life. What do you mean to sacrifice? Maybe God wants you to offer, and when you think about it, to offer ourselves, our life. And what does that consist of? Our time, our ambitions, our possessions, our ears, our mouths, our minds, our emotions, and our attitudes. Sacrificing our life is asking, just giving our complete everything, our heart, soul, mind, everything to God, is a pleasing sacrifice to him. In Hebrews 13:16, it says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. What's another way that we could sacrifice to God? Our generosity, giving to others, helping others out. That's another thing that pleases God that we can sacrifice. In Romans 12:10, Paul gives an example, many examples of the sacrifice of love. It says, love one another with brotherly love. Now, when given the opportunity to sacrifice, most of the time our mind battles with making sense of what is actually being asked for and having faith. Because most of the time we're like, well, I wonder what God is really asking for, instead of just having faith. We wrestle in our minds instead of just having faith to say, God is going to take care of everything. And we talked about that last week, and we're going to reiterate this, and we're going to talk about Abraham and the story of Isaac and this account in the Bible that paints such a beautiful picture of what it really is all about and having a faith that trusts. Can you attest? Can you stand here this morning and say, yes, I have a faith that trusts? In Genesis, God paints this beautiful picture. It's a foreshadowing of the ultimate sacrifice that God gave through the account of Abraham and Isaac. How many of y'all read the account of Abraham and Isaac? Yes. How many of y'all love that account of Abraham and Isaac? Because when I read that, I literally see God and Jesus the Son. I see this ultimate sacrifice that God was willing to give up for you and I to be where we're at today, to have the opportunity to be in God's house, worshiping him, praising him in the freedom that we have here this morning. What a wonderful story. And Abraham, he'd already been tested before, but this is probably the greatest test that he had in his life. How many of you all would be willing to say, if God said, hey, go take your son, your only son, your only daughter, and give them up for a sacrifice for me? Honestly, think about that. Think about the testing of his faith and how he had to truly say, I trust what God says. I trust what he wants me to do, and I'll listen and I'll obey what God wants me to do. Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son. Abraham did the best thing that you and I could do. He did the best thing that you and I can do, contrary to what God had already told him, because we read here in the scripture when we started out that it said his son Isaac would bring many offspring, okay? That's what he said. So all of a sudden he's saying, no, I'll bless you, okay, through your son Isaac, but I want you to kill your son Isaac. So, you know, Abraham's scratching his head thinking, you know, what's God asking me to do? But I'm just going to stand with God and have a faith that trusts. When in your life have you ever been faced with that? When you said, I know God has promised me this, or he said this to me, but he's telling me to do this that's contrary to what he's already promised me. How do I do that? Having a faith that trusts. Do you have a faith that trusts? Are you willing to say, God, I'll give up anything and everything that you want me to give up because I know and I understand that your plan is perfect? Contrary to what God had already promised Abraham, he decided, listen to this, he decided to take care of what only he could take care of. He could have tried to figure it out. How many of you all are people that try to figure it out? If it ain't on the schedule, it ain't getting done, but it's figured out. A, B, C, D, this is how we're going to go. This is how the day is supposed to go, and then we're going to figure it out. But what Abraham had to do here is he had to do what only he was in control of. He had to obey. God told him, he said, hey, I need you to go up. I need you to take your son. Here's where I need you to go, on Mount Moriah. I need you to take your son, your only son, Isaac. After we know how hard it was for him to have a son in an old age, they had their son Isaac. So God had already answered prayers. He'd already promised that through Isaac, his offspring will plenish, will be great. And now he's telling him to take him up on Mount Moriah and give him as a sacrifice to God. So what did Abraham do? Contrary to what God had already promised him, he simply obeyed. He told Isaac, he told a few others, hey, let's gather the stuff. We've got a journey on down the road, and we're going to make a sacrifice. A sacrifice. So they gathered up everything they were supposed to, got to the place. Abraham looked and he said, okay, you guys stay right here. My son and I are going up and we're going to give a sacrifice to God. So Isaac gathered the wood and he said, gather everything up. He carried the wood. They were going up, and on the way up, what did Isaac do? He asked the simple question, Dad? Yes, son? Where's the sacrifice? Where's the sacrifice? Oh, in his heart, he truly was attesting to a faith that truly trusted in God. And when we talk about sacrifice in our life, we think that we're giving up so much in our life. Oh, I had to give up so much in my life, when in reality, when we think about this very account where he said, Dad, where's the sacrifice? And I love Abraham's response. I love his response. If you and I could walk our life when we're tested, when we're beaten, when we're battled, when we're struggling, if you and I in our life could say what Abraham said here and trusted and had that kind of faith in God, that we simply say, son, God will provide. God will provide. And as you know, the account, they went on up, laid the wood down. Isaac got laid on the altar there. Abraham grabbed his knife. And as he began to kill and sacrifice his own son, what happened? He looked over, and the angel said, "Whoa, stop!" And as they looked over, there was a ram caught in the thicket. God will provide. Having this faith that trust in God, it required this ultimate sacrifice, this picture that was painted. And Abraham here, all he could do was take care of what he was in control of. And this morning, all you can take care of when things are going crazy and wild out here in this life are only the things that you can take care of, and it is simply to obey God. Abraham obeyed God, and then what he did something else. He did something else, and then he let God take care of what only God could take care of. What was that? The fulfillment of his promise. The fulfillment of his promise. So this morning, as you're sitting in church, take care of what you can only take care of, and that is obeying what God is telling you to do. Obeying what God is telling you to do, and then let God take care of what only God can take care of, and that's everything else. His promises, that's everything. Him taking care of everything. A lot of times, our faith is dependent on which direction we are looking. Which direction we are looking. Does anybody remember the word from last week? The word A-F-A-R. Afar. Because sometimes that's what our faith, to have this faith to trust, that's what it ultimately, it depends on a lot of times the direction that we are looking. And Abraham wasn't looking all around. He already knew that God had promised him through his son Isaac, his offspring. So he trusted that. He trusted that because he was looking not at the situation, but at the promise. Not at the situation. He wasn't looking at how hard is this going to be on me. Giving up that remote is hard, but how hard is it really going to be on you? That last piece of cake when you've got a family of four sitting there and it sits there for a day because everybody's thinking, man, I want that last piece. But not looking at your situations in life, but holding to the promise that God has given each and every one of us. What does a faith that trusts really look like? What does it look like? A faith that trusts obeys God no matter what because it believes God no matter what. A faith that trusts obeys God no matter what because it believes God no matter what. It just simply obeys. We used to sing a song when I was in an old regular, and you said old regular missionary, Pentecostal, whatever you want, Baptist church. We used to sing this song, Trust and Obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. A faith that trusts, it obeys God no matter what because it believes God no matter what. Even though that he commanded, the command that was made made no sense from the human point of view. He told Abraham, hey, Isaac, I promise you he's going to have offspring. He's going to have offspring, but now that I want it made no sense to the human brain. It made no sense at all from that human point of view. But Abraham intended to obey anyway. You may ask yourself this question, how could a man do such a thing? Because Abraham believed that God could raise the dead. He believed that God could raise the dead. So, okay, you promised me a son. I got a son. You promised that he was going to be, there was going to be an offspring for my son Isaac out here. You promised that. Okay, so you promised, you said, hey, I need to go sacrifice my son. Okay, I'll do that because your promises has always stood. Because so if I kill my son, you're going to bring him back. You're going to raise him from the dead. He had a faith that trusted in God that even if I do kill my son here, God is going to raise him from the dead because he promised. He already promised, and I trust that God's promises will stand forever. A faith that trusts. Sometimes our faith is tested. Why? Sometimes our faith is tested. Why? To help us grow. When I ask you at the beginning of service, what is some things that you've sacrificed or had to sacrifice in your life? Some of you have probably thought of some really things in your life that meant a lot to you. Just things that you did for your kids or maybe someone that you're married to, something that you sacrifice. And this morning, having this faith that trusts and obeys, sometimes God allows us to go through tests in our life to simply to help us grow. And I'm here this morning, we can all say that we are here this morning as a living testimony that throughout our life we've been tested and tested and tested and tested. But having a faith that trusts, we are still moving forward with God because we have a faith that trusts. Abraham willing to give up his son Isaac because he had a faith that trusted. Because he understood that what God had promised, he understood that he was going to fulfill his promise. And that is something about God, is when God promises something, he's going to do it. When he promises something, he's going to do it. When we read in Genesis 22, when we begin to read in Genesis 22, I was struck by something God said when I was reading this. To Abraham, after this great test, after the ram was sacrificed, after Isaac was spared, after the promise was reaffirmed, there is something in God's word when reading through Genesis 22 here that really kind of stuck out. That kind of makes it real in the situations that we're in, because some of you may be scratching your head and thinking, I've really not had to sacrifice anything, or what does God really want from me? But something that really stuck out to me is it says, God commends Abraham by saying. He commends Abraham by saying, you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. God commends Abraham by saying, you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Maybe, perhaps, the account of Abraham and Isaac is to serve as an aid for us to understand how much God really loves us. Maybe it's for us to truly understand how God really loves us. If you haven't read Genesis 22 in a while, I beg you to go today and read that, to understand this picture that is being painted, this foreshadowing that's being painted of what God was ultimately going to do for you and I. It helps us to truly understand how much God loves us. If he is willing to do something so painful for us, he must love us with an everlasting love. And at the bottom line, God is the one that gave up the ultimate sacrifice. So when we think we've sacrificed so much, God is the ultimate one that gave up so much. Not even Abraham. This was just painting a picture for you and I to understand how much God really loves you. How much God truly, truly loves you. There is nothing you can do in this life that God still wouldn't say, I died for that one. I died for that one. You thinking there's some awful human beings out here in this world. Guess what? Jesus died for them too. Well, people's treated me badly in my life, but Jesus died for them too. The ultimate sacrifice that God gave for you and I. Now listen to this. Yes, Abraham offered up his son. Abraham offered up his son, but the father offered his son. Yes, Isaac carried the wood, but Jesus carried the cross. Yes, Isaac laid on the altar, but Jesus was nailed to the cross. Yes, Abraham was willing to put his son to death, but our father willed that his son should die. Yes, the ram was offered up in the place of Isaac, but Christ was offered in the place of sinners. Abraham was received his son back figuratively. He received his son back, but Jesus literally rose from the dead. This beautiful picture of the ultimate sacrifice and a faith that trusts that Abraham is living and showing us that this is what it looks like to have a faith that trusts. Because at the end of the day, it isn't about our comforts. It's ultimately about this sacrifice and trusting that no matter what happens in this life, I have a faith that trusts. And the only thing that you can do is simply what you are in control of. And that's not your life. That is to simply obey the word of God. Did you hear? Christ was offered in the place of sinners. He was offered in the place of sinners. For over 2,000 years, Christians have looked at this account in Genesis 22 as this death and resurrection of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you're sitting here this morning, can you personally say, that is my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? You could say, I've read about him, I've learned about him, I've sat in and I've listened to Bible studies, I've read devotions about him, but I'm asking you an honest, true question this morning. Can you say that that is my Savior? That's my Savior. In Genesis 22, we see a man who would do anything for the love of God. We've seen a man here, Abraham, that would do anything for the love of God. But we see at Calvary, we see what God did for the love of man. We can try to say that we've sacrificed so much, but what God truly sacrificed is the ultimate sacrifice. Why? Because he's seen this moment this morning. He's seen that someone was going to be going through a test. Someone's faith was going to be tried. He's seen that someone was going to be sitting here this morning, maybe even questioning or doubting their own salvation. He's seen you was going to be seated in the very seat that you're sitting in right now. You were going to be sitting there. He's seen that. And he loved you enough to go to the cross to die for it. So I'm going to ask you, when you think about this morning, Abraham was only asked to sacrifice. He was only asked to sacrifice Isaac. God actually sacrificed his son. More than that, Jesus endured this physical death and spiritual death to obtain redemption for sinners. So what's the ultimate sacrifice? Jesus. What allows us to have a faith that trusts is believing in this ultimate sacrifice that Jesus gave for you and I. So I've walked my life and I've had a faith that trusts. It's been tested many a times. And I have a faith that trusts and I'm going to simply obey. And that's all God's asking you to do this morning. Maybe, just maybe, when you think about this, is God commending you like he did Abraham by saying, you've not withheld from me? Is God simply commending you this morning and saying, you have not withheld from me? Maybe in your life you're thinking, well, I've held some things back and I need to really let God have them. What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to say? Well, God will look over and say, I commend you. You didn't hold anything back. You thought you were keeping a secret, but now you've revealed that to me and you're forgiven. What is he asking you to sacrifice this morning? Maybe it's your attitude. Maybe it's your addiction. Maybe it's your pride. Maybe he's simply asking you to lead your home, to be the husband that God created you to be the wife that God created you to be. Maybe he's just simply asking you something that you have control over, and that is just to simply obey God when he is speaking to you. So when you scratch your head this morning, I want to ask you, what have you really sacrificed for God? What have you really sacrificed for God? I can remember a time sitting in a church when a man of God preached. When a young boy already told everybody that he was saved, he'd been baptized. I'd already been a member of two or three churches. And still sitting there, and the word of God was so powerful, and understanding what God look at me and say, I commend you, John. You didn't hold anything back. But you've lied to them all, and you've been baptized. And you've joined two or three churches. Good job. And simply, what are you holding back from God? Because we've all been there. And can you this morning truly say that, man, I have a faith that trusts? If you do, maybe God's saying there's something that you just need to give up. As we pray and God bids you to come to an altar. Come to an altar where you can just release everything. Talk to God. You say, I ain't coming to that altar. Well, do it at your seat. Do it at home by your bed. Do it while you're driving down the road. But when God is saying, hey, I've given the ultimate sacrifice, you don't have to give up anything. All I simply need you to do is obey. Because if we trust and obey, There is no other way. But I can truly say that I'm happy in Jesus because he was willing to give his life for you and I, that we would have the opportunity that we have this morning to have a faith that trusts. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this opportunity.